Cronananian.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of
the Car Doctor.
It's 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
Cronananian. The dealership has scheduled a 5 o'clock appointment with us, you know, to sit down and explain the workings of the car. Car is in my wife's name, and I'm not getting in the middle of this. You ever teach your wife how to drive? You know, it's like, I don't want to explain to my wife how the new car works.
It is a good day to die.
The Car Doctor. Can you imagine? Come pick up your new car. It's going to take at least an hour, up to an hour and a half, for explanation of how everything operates. That's the amount of technology.
Sir, I protest. I am not a married man.
Welcome to the radio home of Cronananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now...
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
Energize.
Here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines and fire up your phasers. Cronananian, the Car Doctor, here at 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's 24/7 phone number. More information at cardoctorshow.com. Get on out there and also get over and check out the podcast available at Spreaker.com and click subscribe or favorite or whatever the such word is and take us with you wherever you want to go. Wow, what a week, right? Leading into Labor Day. Labor Day, you know, the holiday weeks before Labor Day, 4th of July, Memorial Day, just it doesn't cease to amaze in terms of what's involved. But it seems that this week was, I don't know, was Mercury in retrograde? Was Venus going the wrong way around the sun? Was the moon in double phase orbit or something? There was just... The art of communication and the art of common sense or the use of common sense was just horrific this week. It was a very tough week. And I'm glad to be here with you. I really am. And I appreciate the fact that you've turned this on or you've booted this up or however you're listening to this because I enjoy spending this time together. You know, you guys, from the email and the conversations over the years, this is your therapy. This is my therapy. This is, you know, I get to tell you about my week because nobody would believe me. It just, what is it with communication? I don't get it. It's very hard to listen. And I think we've grown into a society of listen to respond, but not listen to communicate. 2002 Chevy Trailblazer. Customer, regular customer, long-term customer. She's always been a little on the nervous side, is the best way to describe it. Fidgety, maybe. So it's not a trust thing. She knows who we are and what we are and what we do, and it's just, you know, got to have my car. It started leaking something in the right front corner on Tuesday, and Margie called me up and said, you know, I'm not sure. It might be steering fluid. It might be transmission. I know the transoil cooler lines come up that side. I said, yeah, no problem, Margie. I said, listen, I'm just back from vacation. It's a very, very busy week. I mean, let me be honest with you. I will try to get a look at it, but I'd rather have the car here than getting stuck on the road. So, you know, if you're okay with this, drop it off. You know, leave it with me. At least it's here and you're not stuck somewhere. And if I can look at it this week, because she was working from home this week, I said, if I can look at it this week, I will. If not, and it goes into next week for you to get to work, are you okay with renting a car? Yeah, sure, that would be great. Absolutely. Okay, good. Communication. We've communicated, right? That was Tuesday. Came in, dropped it off Tuesday, 1 o'clock. Wednesday morning, 9:15. Hey, did you look at my car yet? No, Margie. Remember the conversation about... You know, it's going to take time. I've got to, you know, and I get it. You know, maybe one time we're nervous, we're fidgety. Okay, well, call me when you know something. I will. I promise. I will call you when I know something. Now you've got to understand. And we're a small repair shop. We see, you know, 10, 12 cars a day. So do the math. What are we seeing? 50, 60 cars a week. And I would say better than maybe eight customers this week were just fidgety. I don't know what it is. Everybody was just, and I spent quite a bit of time saying, no, your car is not ready yet. Why? Because I said I wasn't going to be able to look at it, remember? And you know, Thursday, Margie called at noon. Hey, did you get a look at my car yet? And, you know, you stand there and you look at the phone and you want to go, well, actually, your car is done. I'm charging you $60 a day storage. I just try to run up the bill because, you know. And I could probably say that with Margie. She's a long-term customer. She gets my sense of humor. She would understand we're kidding. But, and I know all of, not all of you, but I know some of you do this, and I'm not sure why. Why do you call the mechanic to see if the car is done if they said, we'll call you? I'm kind of looking for that answer, by the way. Friday morning, about 11 o'clock, I texted Margie. Hey, Margie, your car's on the rack. I'm trying to get it done today. It turned out I had looked at it late Thursday. The right front shock had rusted through, and it was leaking shock oil. It was kind of neat. It was actually, and if you pumped it up, if you bounced up and down on the fender, it would build up enough pressure in the shock that if you put the car up in the air, you could watch shock fluid pee out the bottom hole and hit the right front fender well. It was like instant oil proofing, rust proofing. It was never rust in that corner of the car. And needed two front struts, which is a little involved on this car. There's a it goes into a knuckle and a lower wishbone fork, and it has to be pulled off of the press, and you know, a little cockeyed, but we got it done. So about 11 o'clock, I texted her, hey Margie, your car's on the lift, and you know, it's going to be done today. It's just a matter of time now. I just want you to know I'm doing everything I can trying to, you know, make it happen. About 1:30, Margie called. She said, hey, I just wanted to know what the status was with the car. And I said, well, Margie, I sent you a text. Didn't you see the text? No, I was trying not to look at my phone because you told me not to call. And I know if I picked up my phone to look at other stuff, I would end up calling you. So I figured I'd wait and see if you called me. You never called. Right, I texted you. Oh, is that what that green light blinking means? Yeah, like look at the phone. She looks at the phone. Oh, by the way, you texted me. Yeah, no kidding. And then you have to explain why you texted. I don't get, but whatever. So moving on. So at the end of the day, Margie got her car back. It was fixed. She was happy. And, you know, I kind of explained it to her. Like I'm explaining it to you. Listen, if the mechanic says he's going to call you, give him a chance. Let him, you know, listen to what he says. Because if you can't hear him when he says, hey, it's going to take a couple of days maybe to get a look at it, but likely going to next week, if you can't understand that communication, how can you understand, here's what's wrong with the car, here's what it's going to cost to fix, and here's the necessary procedure in order to execute that repair? And then, as proof of life after death and somebody behind the curtain kind of pulling the strings the other way, just to show you that there is somebody on the other side of the veil manipulating things. The little old lady with the 14 Ford Fusion that has, I think it's just turned about 6,000 miles now. Late Thursday afternoon pulled in. She had a flat. And Edith has been a long-term customer. And she had just moved. And she's older. You know, she's a senior. And the car had a flat, and she had AAA come out and change it. And she left us the flat tire, and they had the donut on the car, and she needed the spare for the weekend. And I understand that, a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend. And she had moved. So I said, you know, give me the new information, Margie. She, you know, she moved to the next town over into a senior center, and I took the information, and I repeated it back to her. Here's the phone number. Here's the address. Make sure I got it right. Yep, I got it. I will get this done. You know, likely by noon tomorrow, call me just in case, because I want to make sure you get your tire back, and we'll go from there. Well, let's see. The tire came 9 o'clock. We asked for it on the 8 o'clock truck. It got to the shop about 10 to 9. I jumped right on it. I got the tire done. By 10 o'clock, it's all balanced, ready to go. Sat down at 10 o'clock coffee break, called Margie's phone, Edith's phone number. Doesn't work. It's a wrong number. I ended up getting a small tool and power repair equipment shop somewhere in South Jersey. That can't be good. Then obviously never heard of Edith. So I said, let me back up here, and I tried dialing it again. Nope, that was a number. It's really amazing, right? Because you know what happened here. Okay, proof of life after death, somebody pulling the strings from the other side, just to see how we would handle it. She never called. So I took the next step of, I called the police dispatcher in town because they know everybody. And she knows Edith's cousin, who lived across the street from Edith. And she called Edith and Edith's cousin, and Edith's cousin came back and said, you know, my cousin Edith moved about a month ago, and she gave us this phone number, and it doesn't work, and we've got no way to get hold of her either. So I did the next best thing. I jumped out on the internet. See, I got time for all this, trying to fix my 12 cars a day. Okay, I jumped out on the internet, and I Googled the address, and the address was the senior citizen housing center that I kind of thought it was in Wyckoff. And I called them up, and I explained the whole situation, and the lady, Mary, was very nice, and she said, oh, she said, let me look her up. What's her name? And I gave her the whole name, and she looked her up, and she goes, we don't have anybody here by that name. So we left a message with the Wyckoff Police Department, because I know the police dispatcher. So they're out looking for Edith in her blue Ford Fusion. So somewhere around Bergen County, New Jersey this weekend, if you happen to travel and you want to see the sights, there's some poor little old lady in a blue Ford Fusion with 6,000 miles on it who's got a Space Saver donut on the right front. I've got her wheel and tire at the shop. She never called. And I don't understand that. The ones that you don't want to call, call. The ones that you want to call, don't call. That's auto repair, folks. And that was my week. 855-560-9900. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor, coming back to kick the garage doors open right after this.
Keep Ron's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
Hey, let's get on over and talk to, is that Susmit? Am I saying that right? In Illinois, 11 Toyota Avalon.
Yes.
Welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Great show.
Thank you. What's going on?
I have a 2011 Avalon. I'm trying to hook up a trailer wiring harness, a 4-pin.
Okay.
And what I was wanting was the color code to the Avalon. I've tried Googling, and I'm not having any luck.
All right, so let me ask the dumb questions, all right? I get to ask the dumb questions. I've done this a long time. Having just gone through this discovering trailer hitches for 2018 Explorers, is the vehicle rated for tow?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Manual, it is. I mean, because it talks about it.
Okay. And
in the owner's manual.
Where are you getting the trailer hitch from?
I got the trailer hitch from, it's a known company on the internet, Trailer something.
All right.
E-Trailer or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, so it's a hitch made specifically for the vehicle.
It's a simple hitch.
Okay. By chance, do they have a wiring diagram plug-in, an add-on?
There is a little literature that came with it, yes.
I think I asked that wrong. Do they have a harness plug-in?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't buy that one. They had that one, but I didn't buy that one.
Why?
I figured it was a 4-pin, simple wiring, and that's why I bought that one.
Well... So the one... wait a minute. Just hang on a second. I was going to say, the one that came, in kit form, are you still cutting into the wiring harness and soldering or butt connecting or whatever? Or does the kit that they offer give you the ability to unplug connectors and plug things in nice and clean and you're done?
Yes. Yes, plug things. But the problem I had was you have to do something in the front of the car, underneath the steering wheel. So that's what kept me from getting that thing.
They want you to run the harness from the front of the car to the back.
Yeah, and then you plug it in into the your rear lights.
So, in other words, you're accessing the rear lights at the front harness, where the front harness probably comes down around the steering column, would be my guess.
Correct.
Is what they're telling you.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the plug-in one that exists, which I didn't get.
All right. So, where are you planning to tap in? And I've got the wire colors. I'm glad to give you the wire colors, but it's not a question of that. I'm just trying to... One of the things I've learned in doing wiring and harness repair is anytime I don't have to disturb or expose a wiring harness, I would rather go through the pain of doing it the hard way rather than cutting that hard, unless I'm going to heat shrink, you know, nice clean solder. This isn't something where it's just tape and let it go, because you know, where are you going to attach this harness? Now, you're going to go into the trunk. Is it accessible in the trunk, or is it underneath the vehicle? Where are you going to go to get it?
I mean, I've already got it wired up to the light area, to the rear light. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So, you know, how did you get
that? Yeah, I mean, I've already got it to that point.
Okay.
I got it from the trunk where the tire is. So I took that little grommet out of there and, pulled it up from there and, ran it through the side. And, you know, it's a clean setup.
All right.
And just goes directly right in the back of the rear lights area where the lights are exposed, where the bulbs are.
Right.
And the wires are right there. And there's four wires or five wires. And so I thought it'd be easier. There's one wire that goes to the right-hand side of the light, and there's like four that goes to the left.
What color wires you got? I'll tell you what you should have. You should have a yellow, an orange.
I got a yellow, which is a left turn.
Let's left turn.
I don't
turn.
Have an orange. I got a red. No orange.
Orange is tail.
Yeah.
White.
Okay, I got a tail is brown.
Tail is brown and orange is brown also.
Tail and park. Okay.
Yeah, they're showing me in wiring. They're showing me orange and brown are both tail. I imagine probably a small side locker that they're making as orange, because that also goes to the side marker bulb. White's the left stoplight, and brown is tail.
White is ground.
Right, and then white black is ground. And that's the left side. Then the right side is green is turn, blue is stop.
Yep.
Pink is tail. You got two pinks, both are tail. And that's it. Those are your four colors.
No,
So what am I missing?
Right. Nothing.
Right. Now the question is how are you going to connect to that?
Right.
So that brings me back to the point that, you know, doing wiring harnesses, man, I'm telling you, the trailer harness, yeah, I know, you're going to have to take the back seat out, take up the sill plate and run the wiring harness all the way up. But, you know, 5 years from now, when you haven't had a harness issue, you'll be happier you did it that way than, you know, attacking it in the trunk. You know, because there's generally no place to do it. I'm Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
When the family car needs some fixing, there's only two things that really matter: getting the right part and getting some good advice. It's a pretty safe bet that with over 1 million parts in stock, Pep Boys has the right part right now. The Pep Boys pros are extensively trained to find the right part for just about any car or truck. Better yet, these pros can also handle the entire installation or service needed. It's always good to have options, and know the Pep Boys pros have it covered either way.
Welcome back. We're on the Indian Car Doctor here at 855-560-9900. Let's go over and talk to Lisa in Connecticut, 08 Honda Accord. Lisa, you're on with the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Okay, I was driving, and I turned on my air conditioner, and it was hot air, and then all of a sudden it made this really churning noise, you know, something I've never heard before, and like I said, it was hot air, so I turned it off, and bottom line, to make it real short, they replaced, I got a used compressor,
okay.
And it was replaced. And it worked, you know, for about a day and a half, and then it was hot air. Bottom line, it was sporadically. Sometimes hot air, sometimes it was, and when it was cold air, it was cold. It was nice. But every once in a while, it just didn't work. Okay, I took a long trip, and after a half hour, it just stopped the whole way. So a two-hour trip with only a half hour of air conditioning in this heat. Okay, so, but then, you know, once I got home, it worked. You know, that was the crazy part. Why is it working sometimes and not working other times? Well, I went to get my headlights fixed, which had nothing to do with the air conditioner. I was going to live with it like that. And I was talking, so I started talking to the mechanic, and I said, you know, I got this air conditioner, and sometimes it works, and when it does, it's great, but sometimes it doesn't. I said, I don't know if it's because of the old compressor. Maybe I should have bought a new one. And so, of course, right away he wanted to change it. Well, so I had him replace it again, okay?
You had him replace the compressor?
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't know what was wrong with it.
Right, with another used one?
No, a new one.
A new one, and you paid the price difference.
Oh, big price difference.
Right. That's okay.
Okay. But I figured if it's going to work, hey, you know, it's worth it in this heat. Of course, I'm retired, and it killed me.
Right.
Killed me, my wallet. Okay. So the next day, I had to go to Boston again, and I come back fine. Okay. The next morning, it doesn't work. You know, it's this on-off, on-off thing.
So even
I bring it back in,
right.
And I told them, look, it's doing the same thing. They said, then they called me back, and they said, oh, it's your condenser. It had nothing, you know, it really, either compressor would have worked. You need a condenser. It's clogged or something like that, they told me. Well, what do I know? I said, oh, my God, you know.
Right.
Okay, fix it. So now new compressor, new condenser.
And it still doesn't work.
And it still doesn't work.
How did I know that?
Because I called you.
I know. That was the giveaway. Let me tell you where this repair went wrong and why. And I'll tell you what the next step is that they have to do. I haven't used a used AC compressor since 1983, I think. It's been a while. You know, generally compressors today, unless it's a real late model vehicle, something in a salvage yard that's, you know, documented 20,000 miles old, etc. But, you know, you're talking about a 10-year-old Honda Accord that's got higher mileage on it. Honda's, you don't know what the compressor came out of. Honda AC compressors, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11s, they tend to burn up the clutches. They have clutch issues, AC compressor clutch issues. And, you know, you can do a clutch, you can do a compressor, but generally the compressors are not a strong suit part of that vehicle family, in my opinion, based on what I see and change at the shop. So doing a used compressor, depending upon how it was stored and cared for, understand an AC compressor is a big pump. It's no different than an air pump, a water pump, a fluid pump. It's if there's particulate, if there's contaminant of some kind in the AC compressor, it's now been pumping junk into the system, and the first stop in the system is the condenser. So, you know, the question here becomes, could it have been restricted as a result of the used compressor? It's possible. Could it have been restricted as a result of the first compressor failure, depending upon how it failed? Yes. So there's a lot of unknown here. There's a lot of what I haven't heard you say is somebody tried to diagnose it. Did anybody try to diagnose this before parts were replaced?
Yes. Well, this happened over 4th of July. Well, it was the Sunday before 4th of July.
Right.
So, yeah, great time, you know, to happen. First of all, it was the hottest day of the year. And so my car dealership couldn't, I had to wait until the 11th of July. I said, I'm not waiting 10 days. So I went to Sears, and they did one of those diagnostic things. And they said, maybe I wasn't supposed to say that. But anyways, they said it was the compressor. you know. And then when they told me how much, I said, I got to think about this. And then, of course, some friends really were pressuring me to, oh, we got this good mechanic. He can do blah, 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 whatever. So I went the cheap way, which you learn your lesson, you know.
Well, but sometimes, sometimes the cheaper way is okay. The question I've got is when they, and I guess they wouldn't explain that to you, but I'm wondering how they diagnosed it. The fact is, you know, an AC compressor not turning on, right? That was the premise here. It was you would turn on the air conditioning and they told you the compressor did not engage?
Yes. Well, okay. The mechanic did.
Right.
There's
one wire that goes to the compressor. Most mechanics can diagnose one wire. All right. It's a red-white wire. It's you turn the AC on, it's got to have battery voltage to it. If it has battery voltage on that wire, and the compressor has proper ground going to the clutch coil, which, again, one more wire. Most mechanics can diagnose one more wire. Good ground, good power. That compressor's got to operate. All right? If it's pretty simple, and it's there's a couple of ways you could test this. If it has to be done on the road, there's a couple of things you can set up to, you know, while you're driving, does the compressor clutch cut out? You know, and there's your test point. You can look for a bulb to be lit. You can set up a meter. There's a couple of different ways to do this. I'm surprised, and maybe I'm jumping the gun. I'm surprised that you haven't said, did anybody ever mention to you about changing the AC compressor relay?
Actually, After these two things happened, and after all the money I spent,
right,
and just thinking how long it's going to take me to make up that, you know, I said, I'm going online. And I found some, you know, articles, and one said, well, it could be the sporadic, you know, the intermittent cooling could be like freezing up, and it said something about dirty cabin air filter. So I'm going to change that. Okay, nothing happened.
Well, I'll back up. Did anybody mention to you, did anybody change the AC compressor relay?
No, okay. But I found that online,
right?
And I went back to them and I said, "Did you change the relay?" And he says, "No, because it was working or something." I don't know what the heck he was talking
about. Well, let me tell you, there's the two most common failures on Honda air conditioning is one's the relay, two's the compressor. The expansion valve comes in at third, based on pattern failures. It's not completely uncommon, but it's not nearly as common. The proper way to diagnose this system, and let me close it out here by saying it this way. The proper way to diagnose this would be to check for power and ground at the compressor clutch. If you've got power and ground, that's a bad compressor. Done, conversation over, end of story. If the AC was sporadic in that sometimes the compressor came on and sometimes it didn't, but it was cold, when it did, then that system mechanically and physically functioned. It just needed a correctly operating compressor, whether it be because the compressor was bad or the relay wasn't providing power. So the next step is somebody's got to diagnose, why doesn't this system get cold? If this goes back to square one, where even with a new compressor, we have no power to the clutch. An AC compressor clutch, think of it as a light bulb. It's an electrical load. You flick the switch, the bulb's got a light. You flick the switch, the compressor clutch has to come on. Electrical load has to be there, all right, in terms of just operating the compressor. So they're going to have to check for power to the compressor and ground and then go accordingly. And, you know, do we have a bad new part? Do we have a bad relay, which is located in the unroad relay block? You had a question real quick.
Which they should have changed because I saw how much it cost.
Right.
I said, geez, they could have changed the relay and it wouldn't have been any big money out of their pocket.
I got news for you. As part of the diagnosis, Lisa, they could have swapped the relay. We swapped the AC compressor clutch relay on some of these cars when we were in a hurry with the rear defroster relay. They're identical. They sit right next to each other. Mark them, swap them, send the customer out the door, let them drive it for 3 days. They come back. They say, hey, it's fixed. Good. $20, give me a relay, we're done. I gotta go, sweetheart, but go get it diagnosed. Tell them you want to have a diagnosis and you want a definitive answer. Whatever they tell you, your question to them is, will that fix the car? Yes or no? If they don't give you an answer, call me back. All right, I got to go. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor coming back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, John in Maine. I've got a couple of minutes here. What's going on? John?
Hello.
Hey, John. How are you? Ron and Annie,
good,
and servicer.
You?
Good. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. Great
You're
show.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, I have an 08 Honda Accord I've recently acquired. It's a four-cylinder automatic. It's got 106,000 on it. It was in very good condition, well-maintained. The gentleman put new tires on it before he acquired it. Probably got about 3,000 miles roughly on them. It's a Westlake brand, SA07. It's had a pull ever since I've got it.
Westlake is the brand of the tire?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an inexpensive tire.
Yeah, it's an off-brand something from somewhere.
So I've had it rebalanced, rotated. I put new rotors and pads all the way around. Four-wheel alignment twice, second time just to verify. And they swapped the tires again side to side all around and just went to the tire shop today. And they're like, we can't figure it out. Next steps, set of four tires. But I'd like to be more confident before I do so.
Well,
any ideas?
Yeah, let's back up a second. So when they're doing a four-wheel alignment, all right, Hunter machine, specs built in, everything falls within spec, or something equivalent. The alignment machines today are pretty good. They'll flag whatever's out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything looks on the money as far
right.
as specifications. They're not coming back to you and saying, well, you know, caster's close, but it's still out of range. Everything's square and true right down the line, right?
Exactly.
Center line of the vehicle is correct on the alignment machine, as far as they're not saying the rear tires aren't crabbing against the front.
They're telling me everything's spot on. They double checked it and just did realigned it again today for the second time, and everything's spot on. Everything's within spec.
Nothing's loose.
Nothing loose in the front end as far as the steering components. Everything's tight.
When they rotate the tires, how do they rotate them?
I believe they were going crossing them from the front to the back and then the back straight up, I believe. Not 100%, but he did say today he swapped tires right to left up front, test drove it, it was still pulling. Swapped the tires all many different.
Let me pull over and take a pause, John. I don't want to rush this. Stay right where you are. We'll be back right after this. I'm Ron Anini and the Car Doctor. Don't go away. Hey, John. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. Are you there, babe?
Yes.
You got a pencil handy?
I do.
I want you to go take a look at Honda Bulletin dated May of 2009, 06-068. All right? I'm doing this quick because we're going to run out of time. And
sure.
One of the things, some of the stuff is basic, all right? But one of the things in there is it talks about a diagnostic repair procedure for vehicles that pull or shift like yours is going through. And it talks about how to modify or change camber in what direction. For example, if the vehicle pulls left, they want you to put more negative camber in the left front, more positive camber in the right front. They kind of give you the tips on what to look for. Me personally, from my seat here, I like what they're doing with the tires. At this point, I'd move the tires anywhere I could just to see, does anything have any change on the way the vehicle tracks or pulls? Is it always to the left, or is it to the left sometimes to the right?
More considerably to the right, but it will go to the left at times. But it hasn't changed as far as...
Right. Is it road crown sensitive?
It is not. It'll do it on a flat stretch of highway or crown road. Doesn't seem to make a difference.
I wonder what would happen if they started playing with air pressure, tire pressure, moving that around, just for the sake of the diagnosis.
It's a possibility. I could probably try that. I have, they were at 29 when I first got the car. I put it up to 32, which is spec on the door.
Right. What's the door say?
Didn't make,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that didn't make a difference. They're at 32 now. And Nothing seems to be changing.
You know, back in the old days, a million years ago, once in a while, we'd get a car where we'd have to put more camber one side than the other, and we would actually loosen the cradle bolts and shift the cradle over. I mean, it wouldn't look like much on the rack, but, you know, a sixteenth of an inch or less than that, a 32nd, could possibly make all the difference in the world. I'd like to really see the alignment numbers and then start playing with tires, but get your hands on that bulletin. It does give you some specific repair steps or diagnostic steps to go through that perhaps they're not covering. Some of it's basic, some of it's a little bit more advanced. Call me back. Let me know where this one ends up. I'm kind of curious. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Till the next time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See you.